Praise the Lord. Thank you, worship team. I love worshiping the Lord with you all. It's good to worship the Lord any which way, isn't it? Whether you're by yourself or whether you're all alone, it's good to worship the Lord. Well, it's going to be warm again today. Not quite as warm, I guess. Before you know it, it's going to be cold. You're going to have to put a sweater on or something. But that's not today. I was preparing for today's message, and I could not get away from the glory of God. And so this morning we're going to explore what the glory of God is, what it looks like. But before we jump into the scripture, I want to share a few things with you. I believe that we were all created to bring glory to God. That is why we were created. That might, when you hear that statement and know the condition of our world, that might grieve your heart a little bit. I think that would probably be healthy. If we were all made to glorify God, and there's so many that don't even acknowledge Him, and many who say that He doesn't even exist, but each one of us was created to worship God and bring God glory. And so I looked up what the word glory means in the dictionary. And the dictionary defines glory as very great praise. Along with some others, I'll read them to you. It defines it as very great praise, honor, or distinction bestowed by common consent or renown. I like that one. Renown. God is renowned. And when you say the name of Jesus, many people who are believers, their ears perk up when you say that wonderful name. And that is awesome. That's because of God's glory. And then another definition is something that is a source of honor, fame, or admiration, or an object of pride. Also, glory can be defined as adoring, praise, or worshipful thanksgiving, as in giving glory to God. And that is what each one of us is designed and created to do, was to give glory back to God. Isn't that cool? And so we're going to look at this just a little bit this morning. This is a quote. This comes from the Westminster Catechism. The chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Don't you like that? The chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. I've enjoyed that when I hear that. That is a blessing and a challenge to both bring glory to God and enjoy Him both now and forever. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalm 19, verse 1. Usually on Sunday mornings, I get here rather early. And this morning when I pulled up here at the church, I look over in the sky, and there's some clouds that are kind of midway up, and they are, the sun is rising, and they were pink on the bottom and grayish blue on the top. It was incredible. I thought about taking a picture and posting it up here for you, but I knew that would not do it justice, so I didn't even bother. I just absorbed the beauty and the glory of God. But this verse right here helps us with that and says, the heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display His craftsmanship. Isn't that awesome? Even the heavens proclaim God's glory. The sky this morning proclaimed God's glory. And the sky this morning said, I have a maker and he is incredible. And it's awesome. And I love it. I enjoy looking up and seeing a full moon in the sky. This ball that glows because it reflects the light of the sun. It always reminds me when I look at the sun, it always reminds me of God's might and God's power. How does that ball of dirt, how does it stay where it does? Because of God's glory. Because of God's power and authority, it stays right where it does, just as the earth does, just as all the other planets do, just as all the stars. And how many stars are there? A whole bunch. That's not really a term that is, we can't quantify, but a whole bunch is a whole lot, right? And the heavens proclaim the glory of God. And so it helps us to begin to understand what God's glory is. And again, the sky points back to who he is. And not just who he is, but the power that he obtains. Let's look at Exodus chapter 24 and verse 17. To the Israelites at the foot of the mountain, the glory of the Lord appeared at the summit. Like a consuming fire. Now this is when God was wanting to speak to the whole nation of Israel. And he said, come and gather around this mountain. And I will speak to you and I will give you my laws. And God begins to speak to the people. And here it says that to those Israelites that were there that day at the foot of the mountain, the glory of the Lord appeared at the summit. God's glory appeared like a consuming fire. And do you know what how they responded at God's glory? They said, Moses, we want you to be our representative. We don't want God to speak to us like that anymore. It's too scary. And I just wonder if, I'm not sure where God was at with that. I don't know if God was like, I want you to see my power and to know that I'm the ultimate authority, or if God was grieved and said, what? But I want you to come close. I'm not certain where they were supposed to be or where God was with that, but that kind of concerns me. But the people said, this God is apparently great. Matter of fact, we're afraid we're going to die. So God's glory in this case was very, very overwhelming. And they, again, they thought it was like a consuming fire that was about to consume them. And looking at Moses' life here, we're going to turn to Exodus chapter 33. Now, let me give a little bit of background here. Moses, in the previous chapters, Moses had gone up to the mountain. God was giving him these laws and giving him these instructions about the things, the tabernacle and the priests and all this stuff. God was giving him these laws and the rules and the government that they were supposed to be ruled and governed by. And Moses was up on the mountain a long, long time. Imagine that I went to be with God for over a month and 10 days. And I didn't tell you when I was going to be back. I got to go meet with God. That's what Moses did. He went up the mountain because, again, the people didn't want God to give it. They didn't want God to give it to them directly. They wanted Moses to be the representative. And so Moses goes to be that representative up on the mountain, and he's with God, I think it was 40 days. And they're like, where's our leader? Where is Moses? Hey, do you guys know when Pastor Chad's getting back? Does anybody know? Because If he's not back by like 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, we're going to find somebody else. But instead of picking a different leader, what they did was they picked a different God. And they turned to Aaron, Moses' brother, and said, "Aaron, you need to make us another God." He said, "Well, give me all your jewelry, all your gold." He makes this calf. And they begin to worship this calf and giving it the glory for delivering them from Egypt. You wouldn't think God would be very pleased with that, would you? When God flexed his muscles against the gods of Egypt and destroyed them and discredited all of them, saying that I'm the true God. Now God's got a big time issue, and he looks at Moses and he says, "Moses, you need to get back down there. Your people are not doing right." So Moses comes down the mountain, and he's got these tablets that are written, that God wrote on both sides of these tablets, and he's carrying them down the mountain. And as he and Joshua get close, they hear the sound of celebration. And he begins to wonder, what's going on? What are they celebrating? And then he discovers there's a calf that they're worshiping. Moses is irate. Why? Because he knows who delivered them from Egypt. And he knows it wasn't that stupid golden calf that's only an object in the form of something that God created. Moses burns the calf and then beats it to dust and then sprinkles it in the water and makes everybody drink it. Talk about being mad. And then at the beginning of chapter 33, God says, "Moses, I'm going to send an angel. You guys need to go on to the promised land. I'm going to send an angel with you. And the reason I'm going to send an angel with you is so that I don't destroy everybody. Because I'm pretty mad right now." And Moses steps in and says, "But God, hold on. God, if you don't go with us, then don't send us. You're the one who matters the most." And then we're going to pick up here in verse 18. I'm sorry. Yes, in verse 18. Moses asked God, "Hey, Lord, you've been telling me to go and to take the people to the promised land that you're going to give us. But you haven't told me who you're going to send with us. And God, it's not worth it if you don't go yourself. Because God, if your presence doesn't go with us, Lord, it's your presence that sets us apart from everybody else." Go back and look at that whole passage, chapter 33 of Exodus. Go back and check that out. Moses says, "God, you're the reason. It's your presence that sets us apart from everybody else. So God, you got to go with us. If I found any favor with you, God, then go with us." And God says, "All right, Moses, I have found favor with you. You have found favor with me. I look favorably upon you, and I am going to go with you." And Moses then says this in verse 18. Moses responded, "Then, God, show me your glory." Or in this version, "Then show me your glorious presence." I like both of them. God, show me your glory. What's he asking? What's he asking? What does he want to see of God? I mean, he says, "Show me." What does he want to see? I find it very, very interesting because I already read it, part of it to you. Moses was He was there when God spoke from the mountain, and everybody else was like, yikes! Tell God to talk to some... How about you, Moses? What? You're the leader. We'll just have him talk to you, and then you tell us, and we'll do whatever he says. Moses was there. He saw that. He witnessed that. Then after the people said, no, God, Moses, we want God to speak to you, Moses, instead of all of us. That was really scary. Moses went up to the mountain and then had conversations with God and watched God probably write on the scroll, on these tablets. So it wasn't that Moses never witnessed anything of God or his presence, but here he's saying, God, show me your glory. I think Moses just has this hunger, and he realizes who he serves, and he realizes that God is all-powerful, and he just simply wants to know him more and more. And I think he's saying, God, show me, I want to see your character. I want to see, and I want to know what makes you tick. I want to know what you approve of, what you don't approve of. I want to see this. Hey, show me who you are. And God says, verse 19, the Lord replied, I will make all my goodness pass before you. That's the point Moses started weeping, I think. He started crying, oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He started crying. Tears welled up and just started rolling down his face. I will make all my goodness pass before you. I think that would be his character. You know, we sang about the beautiful name of Jesus earlier. God's character is beautiful. There's no flaws in it. There's no flaws in who he is. There's no flaws in his character. He always has integrity. He always does what is right, even though sometimes we question it. I will make all my goodness pass before you, Moses, and I will call out, look at this, and I will call out my name, Yahweh, before you. Other versions, that name for God would read Jehovah. Other many versions translate that as the Lord. The Lord is all caps there. Usually the L is a bigger cap, but it's all caps. I will call out my name Yahweh before you. That was a special name that God had given to Moses of himself in previous chapters. When God called him to go to deliver his people out of Egypt. God says, Moses, I'll show you my glory. I'll proclaim my name before you. There's something about his name, isn't there? You see, the name of Jesus is included in that. As the exact representation, the New Testament tells us, of the Father. He's the image of the invisible God. And so God says, yeah, sure, I will make all my goodness pass before you. I will call out my name Yahweh before you. Verse the second part of 19. For I will show mercy to anyone I choose, and I will show compassion to anyone I choose. God is saying, listen, I'm the boss, and if I want to show somebody mercy, I'm going to. If I want to give compassion, I will. And I think what he was saying was, I love to do these things. And boy, haven't we been the recipients of that under the new covenant that Jesus himself instituted? That's all that God does, is pour out mercy and compassion. And Moses begins to get a glimpse of it, doesn't he? He gets to begins to get a glimpse of the God who wants to show mercy and wants to give compassion. The God who wants to offer grace to all people. Verse 20. But Moses, you may not look directly at my face. Look at what else God says here. For no one may see me and live. Moses, if I was to show you my face, you'd die. But I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you a whole bunch of me, but you're not going to be able to see all of me yet. What that says to us tonight is, this morning, is that God is, He's infinite. At what point do we ever know everything about Him? Sometimes I feel like we've only scratched the surface. And how incredible is it going to be when we do get to see Him face to face, and He looks at us and says, well done, good and faithful servant. Welcome into your eternal home. And we get to be with Him forever. See, that was His plan all along. Because we were designed, we were made, we were created to give God glory. Moses, I will show you all my goodness. I'll make my name, Yahweh, pass in front of you. But you may not look directly at my face, for no one may see me and live. Verse 21, the Lord continued, look, stand near me on this rock. What do you think that has to do with? Once again, Scripture is pointing toward Christ. We could put a capital R there, because it's pointing to Jesus. Stand near me on this rock. Listen, church, we can only approach the Father through the Son. Jesus Himself said, hey, listen, if you build your house on the sand, you're going to have problems. Your house will not stand, but if you will build it on the rock, He was speaking of Himself when He spoke those words. If you build your house on the rock, that's going to be me, He was saying. And your house will be able to stand the storms, withstand the storms, and still be standing. I'm the rock. I'm the right foundation. The only foundation. Right? And the Lord says to Moses in the Old Testament, long before Jesus was going to appear, because Jesus is eternal. He has always been, and He will always be. Praise God. Look, Moses, stand near me on this rock. I like that because I think that God wants us to be near. Don't you think God wants us to be near? And that's why I think He was grieved when the people said, No, God, don't touch. Moses, why don't you talk to God, have God talk to you and tell us, and then we'll just do whatever you said. I think God was grieved because I think He wants us to be near Him. I think He wants us to come close. And that's, to me, what the altar represents. That's why I bring you up all the time. Because I think that the altar represents me or anyone else coming close. Now, it doesn't only have to happen here. Matter of fact, I think if it only happens here on Sundays, I don't think that's enough. Did Moses only serve God one day a week? I doubt it. Nor should we only serve Him, worship Him, seek Him, and come near to Him only once a week. It should be daily, right? Come stand near me. Stand near me here, Moses. I think God was delighted that Moses asked that question. Show me, God, would you show me your glory? If I've found any favor with you, would you show me your glory? All right. I'd love to. Come on up. Verse 22. He says, as my glorious presence passes by, I will hide you in the crevice of the rock. We're hidden in Christ. Right? Praise God for that. As my glorious presence passes by, I will hide you in the crevice of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. See, because he wasn't allowed to see God's face. He was only allowed to see the backside. Which blows me away, but also, again, helps us to understand that we can't contain in these sinful bodies, meaning tainted with sin. Sin is around, even if we're living holy. Now that's not the entire plan. That's only temporary. Because one of these days we'll be able to approach all of His glory. That's exciting. Yeah. That's real exciting. But right now we're limited on how much of God's glory we could actually handle. Otherwise, He told Moses previously, if you see my face, you'll die. It's just simply too much glory for you to contain. But that was the plan all along. God's getting us back to that, isn't He? I love it. Praise God. He said, I will hide you in the crevice of the rock, once again pointing to Christ, and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Verse 23, then, once I've passed by, he's saying, I will remove my hand and let you see me from behind. But my face will not be seen. You're not at a place yet, Moses, where I can show you everything. What are we hungry? Are we hungry for who the Lord is? Are we hungry to see His character, to witness it, to know Him? And to know His ways, to know His heart, to desire the things that He desires, to care about the things that He cares about. I think that's what Moses was saying. God, I want to know what You care about. I want to know what makes You tick. I want to know the things that You like and the things You dislike. I want to simply know You more. Are you hungry for the Lord? Do you want to see His glory? I hope so. I think that He'll show us who He is. And I think that on top of that, He wants to work in us and through us to further extend His glory so that others can see it. Because I believe that the Scriptures teach us that we were all created to worship God, every one of us. And so it is the church's wonderful calling and gifting and responsibility to share the gospel and to communicate God's glory to others. Because don't we serve a life-changing God? A life-transforming God? He transforms lives. You can mention names this morning of some of our folks. Praise God. And really, each one of us is a testament to that, aren't we? Because He's still in the works. We're still in the works. He's still in the process of transforming us. We have this wonderful privilege of representing Christ to our world. And I think that as we get to, we understand God's glory, and as we seek God's glory, and as we see God's glory, then we will be more effective in reaching out and helping others to see that glory. And so I want to share this a couple other verses with you before we apply this to our hearts and have a time of response. Psalm 86, verse 12, the psalmist writes, "With all my heart," everybody say all. "With all my heart I will praise you, O Lord my God." Look at this. "I will give glory to your name forever." It's right there along with praise. Okay? It's interchangeable. I will give glory to your name. I will praise your name. I will worship you. I will focus on you. You will be the object that I pursue. With all my heart. Right? Today we're going to get an opportunity to do that. And then Revelation chapter 5 and verse 13, as my wife comes to the keyboard. Revelation 5:13. "And then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the seas." Well, that covers a lot, doesn't it? "And they sang, blessing and honor and glory and power belong to the one sitting on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." Hallelujah. Did you notice glory was bunched up in there? He's worthy to receive glory. Isn't that awesome? He's worthy to receive our honor, our praise. He's worthy to receive our worship. He's worthy. He's glorious. Is anybody hungry? Could you say like Moses and say, "God, would you show me your glory?" See, my Bible tells me that God is no respecter of persons. And again, I think that God was trying to show the whole nation of Israel his glory. And they said, "Whoa." But to see God's glory, you got to press in. Moses had to climb the mountain. See God's glory, we've got to press in. Anybody hungry for him today? If that's you, I just meet me up in the altar. I'm gonna pray and seek the Lord. And I just want to invite you to join me. Let's seek the Lord. Are you hungry for who he is and what he cares about? His ways and ways that we can honor him. Let's pursue him this morning. Master.
Jesus, there's just something about that day. Master, my Savior, sweet Jesus, like a fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms, oh, they'll all pass away, but there's something about that name. But there's something about your name. Yes, there's something about your name. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is, nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is, nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. Wonderful name it is, what a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is, nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, what a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is, nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, what a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is, nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. Death could not hold you, veil tore before you, silenced the boast of sin and grave. Heavens are roaring, praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. You have no rival, you have no equal, now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King.
I thank you for worshiping the Lord with us this morning. So what does it mean to give God glory? Well, it means, I think, quite a bit of things. Give Him praise. To surrender your life to bring Him glory. That your life would represent that and mean that. We have to lay our lives down to do that. That's why it was such a big deal. That's why God gave one of the commandments, one of His Ten Commandments. Do not take the Lord's name in vain. Do not, or let me interpret it a different way. Do not misuse the Lord's name. And that would be saying that you're a follower of Christ when you're not following Christ. When that, saying it's making sure that our life reflects that. Now listen, with that being said, there's grace. When our life, when the goal of our life is to bring glory to God over making money or this or that or whatever it might be, guess what? Then we work on that a little bit more, don't we? When that becomes our sole purpose in life. Remember, the chief end of man, the big idea, the main goal is to bring glory to God and to enjoy Him forever. So what are you living for? What are you living for? Father, thank you for your wonderful people. Lord, I thank you for your presence. Moses said, God, show me your glory. We just want more of you. We want to see your glorious presence in our everyday lives. When we gather together, we want to see your glorious presence. We want to see you show up, do what only you can do. We want to bring you glory with our lives. Thank you for these people, God. Would you go with them, be with them, encourage them, lead and guide their steps and their very words. Lord, we praise you. And I thank you, God, for your people. And ask that you would just simply go with them and bring them back safely. God, direct them and anoint them. Help them, help each one of us to bring you glory today and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Great to see you as always. And may the Lord bless you.